You're about to listen to a message by Apostle Joseph Minta. Apostle Joseph Minta is the head pastor and leader of Touch World Ministries, an all-encompassing network of ministries. Through his teachings of the Word, healing, deliverance, and decorations, the power of God has transformed many lives. Now, the Word of God.
Handling personal prophecies. It's not unusual for a prophet to give personal prophecy to you. But it's because God is not stationing them in the body just for the sole reason of giving personal prophecies. The New Testament pattern is for you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that He can guide you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to be our guide, guiding us into all truth. Father, we thank you for today. We pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on us. Help us to receive your word with meekness. And help that your word will come forth with power and might. Grant me spiritual words to communicate spiritual truth. That at the end, our lives will be transformed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for today. We are still on prophetology. Today is part 6. And today I'm talking on handling personal prophecies. And today is 28 June 2026. Last 2 weeks, we looked at the errand of the prophetic. And by way of recap, let me just go through one or two things. We saw from last 2 weeks that the prophetic office in the New Testament is an equipping office. And then we saw that the prophet's primary ministry is to the body of Christ, the church. And we also saw that the prophets prepare the church for coming events. That is one of the responsibilities of the prophetic office, to prepare the church for coming events. And we saw examples in scripture. Then we also saw that prophets only see in part. They see in part. Always, every prophetic word is not the full picture. Then we saw that prophets can give personal prophecies, yes, but they are not supposed to guide the believer. They are not there to guide the believer from day to day. You know, it's not as if God placed the office there so that they will be our guide. No, but they can give personal prophecies, you know, and it's not unusual for a prophet to give personal prophecy to you. But it's because God is not stationing them in the body just for the sole reason of giving personal prophecies. The New Testament pattern is for you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that He can guide you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to be our guide, guiding us into all truth. But prophets equip us sometimes to stand, to get to a place where we can receive or we can hear the Holy Spirit for ourselves, or to get to a place where we can also be used by the Holy Spirit. Now, so we get it wrong when we limit the prophetic office to seeing visions of our people and showing them what to do. We get it wrong when we limit the office to that. In other words, we lower the bar, you know, when we do that. Now, there are instances where a prophet can give personal prophecies. And usually, you will notice that those prophecies, they come to settle controversies or confusion in your heart. You know, sometimes you are confused. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know what season you are in. Maybe you don't know. God can use a prophetic utterance or a prophet or a prophetic person to give you personal prophecy, and that will help you. That will help you to make decisions, you know. Then also, a prophet can give personal prophecy to confirm what God has been telling you. So it will come to encourage you or to give you confidence. that, oh, so this thing that I'm doing or thinking, it was indeed God. I did not know. I thought maybe I was just doing my own thing, but then he comes to give confirmation to what God has said to you or what you are doing that you don't know. Then also, he comes to tell you what God has been trying to tell you, but you did not get it. So the prophet can also be sent by God to come and tell you what God has been trying to tell you. You see, God doesn't want agents when it comes to his children. He wants to deal with us directly. You know, but sometimes, because of our insensitivity and sometimes our immaturity, we are not able to get everything, you know. And so God also has instituted the prophetic office, you know, to also salvage that problem so that we can, certain things that we may not have heard or we may not have been able to receive from God, God can give it to us through personal prophecies. Now, what are personal prophecies? You know, so personal prophecies, they are prophecies that are directed to individuals, that is directed to you as a person, okay? And that they are different from rhema, different from the rhema you receive from the Holy Spirit, from what you receive from the Holy Spirit. That one is coming to you from the Holy Spirit through your interaction with the Holy Spirit. And last 2 weeks, we realized that the first most important source of the prophetic is the believer's walk with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that one is different from personal prophecy, which is divine utterance or revelation that is given through a vessel to you regarding your life and destiny. You know, that's personal prophecy. So personal prophecy are prophecies that are given to you. You know, they cut across all spheres of life. God can speak to you on every aspect of your life. It could be about your marriage, it could be about your ministry, about your destiny, about your finances, about your future, about anything at all. God is interested in every aspect of our life. He's very personal, though he's not mundane or frivolous, but he's very personal. He takes our things personally, you know, but he's not frivolous. That's what we have to understand. So personal prophecy is a declaration of God's mind concerning an individual, you know, his life and destiny. So it's a declaration that God is telling you what he thinks about your life. And also sometimes he's telling you his plans and purposes, his plans for your life, for this particular season. This is what God wants you to do. It will come as a personal prophecy. Then also, personal prophecies, they are invitations granted by the Holy Spirit, you know, to the believer so that you can journey with the Holy Spirit into all that God has already provided for you. You see, one of the reasons why Jesus gave the Holy Spirit was for him to guide us into all truth. So the truth about your personal destiny and the truth about scripture, the truth of scripture, he will guide you into both. You know, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us. He was talking about eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that are prepared for those who love him. Then he said, but God has revealed them, that's those things prepared for us, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the Holy Spirit is like a tour guide who takes you on a tour for you to know what God has done for you. In fact, what God has already provided for us in scriptures, like if you take the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what it procured for us as believers, they are enshrined in scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is the one who took the early apostles through all that and then navigated all that. And then they discovered what the benefits or the significance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially the Apostle Paul, you know, new creation reality. But that's not all. Also, you as an individual, the Holy Spirit wants to take you on a journey to let you know what God's plan is for your life, in case you are interested. Hello? So it's an invitation. It's not like he's just telling you what God has for you, in case you are interested. Because some people may not be interested in what God's plan for their lives. Yeah. You may never know. You may not be interested. There are people who are not interested, you know, but he shows you anyway. And that's why sometimes you see that at a certain period of your life, there are certain prophecies that will come to you. You know, there are some of the prophecies that will never come to you till you get to a certain place in your walk with God. Why? Because God has strategically positioned the prophet's office on your path of destiny. That, okay, this time I have to unveil to you my plan for your life. And God would have prepared you before that time to meet that prophecy, you know, and you will see that it will come to rest on dealings that you've had with the Holy Spirit privately, you know. And so you will tell you, okay, this is the next phase of your life, or this what I have for you, your entire life, this what I'm going to do to you, I plan to do with you and all that, in case you are interested. Now, there are three phases, F-A-C-E-S, phase. F-A-C-E-S, of personal prophecies. And these three phases, they are derived from the three major prophetic giftings. All the gifts of the Spirit, I think about six of them are prophetic. Six of them belong to the prophetic office. You know, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. These are for the prophetic office, you know. But the three major prophetic giftings are word of knowledge, discernment of spirits, and word of wisdom. And these are the three phases of personal prophecy. So any prophecy you get, or a revelation, or a ministration by a prophet, will take after one of these three, in that order. The order is ascending order, which means the word of knowledge prophecy is not that deep. Discernment of spirit is deeper than word of knowledge. And then word of wisdom is deepest. That's the deepest. It's deeper than discernment of spirit. So a prophetic word can take the face of word of knowledge. What is word of knowledge? Word of knowledge as a gift is a supernatural ability that the Holy Spirit gives to the believer to know things about people, about places, about events, which the person did not know prior to that. And usually the events are the events that have either happened or are happening. So word of knowledge talks about the past and the present, and also reveals things, facts about people and all that. And that is one phase of the prophetic. That is one F-A-C-E-S phase. F-A-C, one phase of the prophetic. And so that level of the prophetic ministration is just to release your faith. It's just to stir up your faith. If a prophet ends there, he will not have completed the cycle of prophecy. If a prophet only mentions facts about you, about your past, about your present, or details about your name, who you are, all those things are part of prophetic revelation. But that is not enough, because the errand of that phase of prophecy is just to stir faith, for you to know that, okay, God knows you indeed. And so what? And so that's why he has taken interest in your life. And so what? And so he's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to settle you. That will come to the next phase. So this first phase is an evangelistic tool. You know, Jesus used this phase when he met the woman of Samaria. And then he said, John 4:18, he said that you have heard 5 husbands. And even the one that you are living with is not your husband, you know. And that one was a word of knowledge, face of prophetic utterance. And that is legitimate and valid. So let us not despise that and think that, well, there's no nothing. It's not important to mention names and all that. It's important. It's important because it serves the purpose of raising a person's faith. That is the only reason. It is never to show that a prophet is sharp, never to endorse the prophet, never to show that he's from God, never to show that he's sharp. It's just to raise your faith, you know. And at that level, you will see that demonic spirits too can assess that level of revelation, you know. So demonic spirits too can get to know, familiar spirit can know your address, know your name, know where you live. Many things. They can know different facts about you because familiar spirits, they have lived with you for a very long time. Some of them they were there before you were born. They know your history. They know your family line, family tree. They can mention your names and all that. So if that is all that a person does, we either will rate him as immature or familiar spirit. If that's all that a person is doing in the name of prophecy or prophetic ministration, he's just revealing facts and just reveling in the fact that he's as you're able to know your name and know your number, and there's no healing, no deliverance, no alignment, nothing, you know, then it's like a person is either playing in shallow waters or he's fake. Because these days, people can, you know, I watched something on, I've watched where there was a woman who, I think somebody sent it to me, a video, a woman who was opening people's eyes, you know, and then she was using some substance like a leaf or something, and then she was supposedly opening people's eyes, and then she was saying that, well, you can come here, we'll open your third eye, you'll be able to see. And if, let's say, your third eye, your eyes are open through that means, and you can see, you can pull crowds, because you see, people don't take time to study whether what you saw or what you claim to have seen has any relevance to their lives or has added any progress to their life. They will not take time to examine that. They will only be mesmerized by your ability to see what they know already. So that's where the problem is. So anybody can just go for your eyes to be open. So when you say, let my eyes open, let me see, you are wrong. Because that's not how God does his things. Anytime people open your eyes, nobody can open your eyes. You see, when people open your eyes, especially with material substances, with leaves, with oil, with a special type of water, be careful. Be very careful, because it's like your eyes are open. You see, but a scriptural way for God to open your eyes is for God to throw light on the eyes of your heart. Ephesians 1, 17, 19, for God to throw light on your eyes. And if you are a prophetic person, the gadgets are already in you. You already have the gadgets, you know, and nobody can open your eyes necessarily. You know, you can be helped to grow, to understand what you see. Usually, you don't help people to see. Even children, when they are gifted prophetically, they see. Nobody helping them, they can see. They can see, they can do this, can do that. You know, children see angels. Children who are prophetic, they can be having dreams and visions. You realize that nobody is helping them to see. The only help they may need is to understand what they are seeing and to put it in proper context. That's all. So the first phase is the word of knowledge phase. Now, the second phase of the personal prophecy is the discern of spirit phase. Discern of spirit phase. Now here, when I say discern of spirit, on the back of that gift, you know, like within the purview of that gift, it's like entering into people's world. This is where real prophecy begins. the real job of the prophetic begins from here. So the word of knowledge and all that is an evangelistic tool just to raise your faith. But the real job is for purposes of healing. And that one happens when now the prophet or the prophetic utterance is now addressing issues of your heart. It's now getting deeper into issues of your heart. It's addressing your fears, addressing your anxieties, addressing your motives, addressing your evil desires and your good desires. All those things in your heart. When those things are being revealed, this is the first work of the prophetic, personal prophecy. Hello? That's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, it says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And that the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So here he's talking about the secrets of your heart. So the prophetic word will come to reveal the secrets of your heart. So we are talking about things that are in the innermost recesses, private things. That Bible says, who knows the things of a man save the spirit that is in the man? So the prophet, by the grace of God, will be able to get into that aspect of your life. And that is for purposes of administering healing, deliverance, restoration. You know? And that is why the Bible, the word of God, is called the more sure word of prophecy, because the word of God is able to penetrate and differentiate between your spirit and your soul. Hebrews 4:12. See, but the word of God is sharp. You know, it's quicker, it's more active, or it's quicker, quick word, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and the intent. And I've always been saying that to move from thought to intent, it can take microseconds. And yet the word of God can catch you there. That means the word of God, the highest level of prophetic revelation. That's why when you are listening to preaching, sometimes you think that the pastor or the preacher, you may think that the preacher has eavesdropped on your conversation. Maybe he doesn't even know, but he's hitting your motive or your desires. That is what the prophetic is supposed to do, so that by the time you leave a prophetic ministration, at least, if you were called to be minister to, at least, there might be healing, whether emotional healing, physical healing, or whatever healing, there must be deliverance. There must be restoration, at least. So if they called you and they told you your name, and they told you this, and there was nothing afterwards, you were not ministered to prophetically. That is not prophetic ministration. It's just the first phase. You were not blessed. Your faith was released, but there was no further action. So, in word of design of spirit, you know, that phase is also for warfare and intercession, because that also reveals the plans of the devil, you know, and then for warfare, you know, so. It targets the secret of men's heart, your deep secrets, your requests, your fears, resolutions, motives, you know, all those things. That level of prophetic can bring it out. And the purpose is healing, deliverance, and restoration. Then the third phase of the prophetic is the word of wisdom phase, F-A-C-E, of personal prophecy. And this revelation of the mind of God concerning one's destiny, usually in the future. Future means just the minutes after the word is shared. It's future. Whatever is ahead is future. So usually, the errand of this phase of personal prophecy is to bring the believer in alignment with the will of God for the person. The will of God is not an event, it's a journey. There's a journey you make into the perfect will of God. And this aspect of the prophetic, or this phase of the prophetic, is targeted at bringing you into alignment so that you can be in alignment with God's plans and purpose for your life. Because if, let's say, you get to know that God's, as part of God's plans and purposes, you will have to be Ghana's president, I'm not sure you will take a decision and relocate to live in America. Because you see, so the prophetic word would have guided you or would have created some kind of boundaries or parameters for you. You know, parameters. They create parameters. So boundaries. So you know, okay, so God has spoken to you. It was not clear. But now the prophetic word now has come to make it clearer. Okay, so the boundaries are defined. So you know your parameters, you know your coordinates. And then you know, you draw your bearings from there. That is the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a spiritual ability that is given by the Holy Spirit to the believer to know things to come, especially the mind of God, to buy into God's mind and to know God's plan for you, what God intends to do with your life. That is the deepest aspect of the of personal prophecy. Personal prophecy. Now, when God declares this aspect of prophecy, it does not mean automatic fulfillment. Listen, it is always an invitation to partner with God to arrive at the destination. God will not do anything in your life all by himself. No. He will always invite you to come along. Because, you see, your willingness and your decision to partner with him really matters. Because now God cannot do anything in your life as far as his plans and purpose for you are concerned without your involvement, you know, even sometimes without your permission. Sometimes. There are times that you can do without your permission, but it will always require your involvement. Because, you see, God can make up his plan, his mind to bless you or to do A, B, C. But you see, it depends on whether you want it. See, one of the things Jesus usually did before he prayed for people was to ask them, what do you want me to pray for you about? They brought a blind man to him, and then he was asking him, what should I do for you? Why do you think he was doing that? I mean, it's obvious the person needs sight, but why was he asking the person? He wanted the person, it was an invitation to partner with him so that you know what exactly you want me to do for you, and I will do just that. So usually you would ask them, what do you want? They will say, that I may receive my sight. They will say, according to your faith, you have received. Because there are some people who may know, that may not be their desire. One man of God was ministering to a certain man, and the man was deaf in 1 ear. And he said, you are deaf in 1 year. He said, yes. He said, I want to pray for you. He said, no. He said, why? He said, when my wife is talking too much, I turn the deaf ear. So you may see it as a defect, but it's helping me, so leave it like that. So it's always an invitation. Okay, now, prophecy is not supposed to be the mainstay of the believer. In other words, God did not design us to live on prophecies, to survive on prophecies. See, that's why I said at that time that you don't need a personal prophet, really. No. You don't need a personal prophet, really. And the ratio of prophets to believers, you can see that it's a very large ratio. And that also should let you know that God did not intend that every believer should have a personal prophet. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us, to help us in our affairs of life. When you meet a prophet, don't take that meeting for granted, though, because it means that he's coming to clear certain things for you. But you see, you don't need a prophet to enter into God's plan for your life, necessarily. And you don't need prophecy necessarily to pursue destiny. Okay? I was telling the story of Pastor Chris, who said that growing up, he never received any prophecy. Growing up, he never received even one prophecy. That you are called Chris. God is going to use you. I see you as a healing evangelist. This, that. He said he could go with friends and they will skip him. Then he was worried. That what is wrong with me? I don't receive prophecies. But you see, he engaged the word of God and the Holy Spirit. You see, what God has said he would do in your life, God has given you the word of God and the Holy Spirit, you know, to help you reach there. Okay? So, the prophecy is not supposed to be the mainstay of the believer. That's why you don't have to be chasing prophecies or chasing prophets. It is wrong for you to be doing that, to be chasing prophet, because you think that without prophecy, you cannot enter destiny. There are many people who have never received a prophetic word, but they are doing well as far as God's plans are concerned. God's plans for their lives are concerned. Why? They are working with the Holy Spirit. Developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then obeying God. The word of God is supposed to be our mainstay. You see, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the proceeding word, the rhema word that God uses to build us. See, that should be our mainstay. That is what God designed, how God designed us to, designed that we should live. So as a believer, you must live your life, build your life on the rock. What is the rock? The rock is the word of God. Matthew 7:24, it said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll compare him, I'll liken him to a man, a wise man who built his house on the rock. If your house is founded on the rock, you will go through this life according to God's will. If only you decide to apply yourself to intimacy with the Lord, apply yourself to the word of God, apply yourself to scriptures, apply yourself to prayer, apply yourself to the local church, growing with others, you will see that you will do well. So you don't necessarily need the prophetic word to be able to enter God's plans and purpose. Because then if that was the case, then many people will be disadvantaged, because it's not likely that many people will meet a prophet. It's not likely that everybody will meet a prophet in your lifetime. Because if you look at the ratio, don't forget the ratio. So God designed that we build our lives on the word of God. God's major tool for building his people is the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 said, all scripture is given by the Spirit of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God, by man of God, may be complete. So what will make you complete in your journey is the word of God. What will make you thoroughly equipped for every good work is the word of God. He gave the scriptures for that purpose. And so the scriptures should be our mainstay. That should be our mainstay. That should be the main thing about our life should be the scripture. The main thing about our gathering as believers should be the scriptures. The main thing about our life should be the scriptures, not prophecy. So when you decide that you want to build your life on prophecy, you are already is a non-starter. Already you are out of the will of God. That's why you are going to be deceived. If you say you will not make any move to a prophet, confess that in your life, you will not make any move till you have a dream or get a vision or a prophetic word. You will notice that, number one, there are many things that you are not going to be able to do. And number two, you are going to be deceived. Because the thought that I will make the supernatural or I will make the spiritual my mainstay, or I will make dreams and visions, I will be led by dreams and visions and prophecy alone, is a wrong thinking. And once you have that wrong thinking, you are going to attract many things to your life. Imagine you always consulting a prophet for direction. Always consulting a prophet for direction. And if even the prophet is sincere, because you are outside of God's radar, it's likely you are going to be deceived, because you are acting ultra-wise. You are acting contrary to scriptures. So it's like this. When God was bringing them to the land of the promised land, you know, God did not design that they should live on manna. The manna was just for the wilderness. God was giving them manna because of the stage, the wilderness. But manna was not the food that God wanted. So put Joshua 5, 12. The day they entered the promised land and the day they started eating of the produce of the land, see, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And so Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. God's plan is for you to cultivate, plant, cultivate, and then eat, and then be sustained. Then you excrete. Then the earth also takes your excreta, and then also builds herself. Then you plant again. So that cycle of sowing and reaping, planting and eating, that's how God designed that we should be sustained. Not manna. Manna was temporary. It was supernatural. It was temporary. Supernatural. The supernatural intervention in our lives, that's how they are. God intervenes in your life, and it's always brief. It's always enough to get you to the next available help, natural help. Hello? You see, for instance, I've experienced this thing many times. I used to experience many times. I will be traveling. Then my car will develop a fault. Then I will park. Right where I will park, it happened not less than 5 times. Right where I will park, there will be either a shop somewhere, you know, once I was going to Eastern Region, my fan belt got torn. Middle of nowhere. Then I got down. Yeah, I just looked around. I saw a shop there, and they were selling fan belts and mechanics. They came to fix it for me. That's supernatural help. Maybe the fan belt needed replacement. The angel sustained it till they brought me to a place where I could receive natural help. And then I think I had to, because after that place, the whole place is forest. Yeah. The whole place I was traveling to, I moved from Accra to Eastern Region with that. And after that place, the whole is forest. You will not get any. So the angels, I believe, when we got to that place where I could get help, they removed their hand, the thing got torn. So that I can assess. So supernatural help is not something that replaces natural things. No. God's intervention, they don't replace natural things. In fact, God can guide you to a place where you can continue your life naturally. The manna. That's why they didn't live on the manna forever. It was easy getting bread from heaven, angels' food, every day. But see, God said, no, my desire is for you to dig the ground, put something there so that it will germinate, so that you can eat. It's the same thing with prophecy. Prophecy is not the mainstay. Do you know what should guide a believer is the light of life? And the light of life comes from the word of God. John 1:14. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. It is that light that we need to live our lives. Listen, when you go to John 8:12, Jesus Christ said that he was talking about whoever comes after me. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I've shown you where the light of life came from. It came from the word in the beginning. Do you know, for instance, when the Bible says in the beginning was the word and God said, let there be light. That light was not the sun. The sun came on the fourth day. That light was the sun, L-U-S-S-O-N, the word producing life, releasing light. It is that light that God wants us to live by. In other words, your knowledge, your understanding of scripture is what's supposed to guide you in your affairs of your life. If you stay with scripture and you stay with God, you will do well. You don't need prophecy. Am I saying prophecy is not important? I'll balance it for you. But you see, the believer must grow in the word, in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the believer will know how to order his life, how to walk in this world. But you see, prophecy is like this. Prophecies are like streetlights. Streetlights. And when do you need streetlights? At night. You don't need streetlights to be able to go to your house. You only need streetlight because it's night. And when you read the Bible, come to 2 Peter 1:19 to 20, you will see, and we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about prophetic words or prophecy. And he said that they shine on our path as lights till the day dawns and the morning star rises. So it's like they shine till the day. So when you are in the day, you don't need street lights. Do you need lights when you are in the day? No. It's only Catholics who, even the day, they put on candles. But that's for a different reason. Okay. Imagine the day, then you are using a light or torchlight or candle. No, you don't need that. You have the light of day to be able to see things clearly. But at night, you may need street light. So prophecy, personal prophecy, they are street light. Like I said, they define a parameter. They can help you define parameters for you. They are street light because you go through seasons of darkness that you will need encouragement that God is with you. So you refer to the prophetic word. Oh, God told me that I will go through this, or he told me I will cross over to the other side. So what I am experiencing is temporary. So I will not lose hope. That's what prophecy does to us. Okay? So I will not lose hope. So I will keep on because I know I will arrive. Even though now I'm experiencing temporal setbacks, I know that God has given me an assurance. You didn't have to receive prophecy to know. You had to locate it in the word. But since you did not, God, out of mercy, located a prophecy for you and said, I'm with you. And said, I will do this, I will do that. So when you see things are not going well, then the light, the street light, they come. When you are in darkness, when you are in confusion, the street light, they come. When you are involved in controversies, the street light will come and remind you that, hey, what you are going through, hold on. You are definitely going to cross to the other side. But we want the street light to be our guide, even in the day, which is wrong. The believer, the word of God must be your guide. Even if you walk in the day, put John 11, 9 to 10. If you walk in the day, you will never stumble. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. So when you walk in the day, you don't stumble. If you live your life on the word as a believer, see, walk with God. Walk with God. Know that if even you don't receive any prophecy at all, what God has written in the scriptures concerning the believer is true. Take that one and make that one your anchor. Grow to know what God has written concerning his children. Because every prophetic word, personal prophecy, you will see that there's a scripture that is already talking about it before the prophet said it. It's because you did not see it. That's why God is using the prophet to tell you. So the manna will cease when the light of day. So we are not supposed to be chasing prophets to inquire. See, you are wasting your time. Because sometimes when you do that, you come outside of God's word. And you are opening yourself for deception. That's why you have conflicting prophecies. Why? Because your heart is chasing after prophecy. So this one will tell you, you marry a white man. And this one will say, you will marry a black man. And you are confused. You don't know which one, whether to blend the black and white to make it chocolate. Now, another thing is personal prophecies are not final. Are not final. Anything from the spirit realm, including divine utterance, is just half of the equation. It's never final. Whether good prophecy or bad prophecy, it's never final. It can be changed by the recipient. If it's a good prophecy, you can change it. Because it's not final. If you say 2 + - is equal to - okay? Okay, let's say 2 + - is equal to 8. Okay, it's not final. You have to add the 6. Okay? Every word that God speaks to you, never final. That's why you don't have to panic when you receive negative prophecy. Don't panic. The prophet said, I'm going to die. No, it's not final. Do you want to die? Yeah, it's not final. And sometimes the way some of the prophets communicate, you know, they will tell you, this is what I'm seeing, and it will happen. Nothing can change it. It's not true. It's not true. Even the good prophecy, you can decide not to let it come to pass. If you don't want it. You see, when the angel told Zechariah, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to get pregnant and give birth. Do you think it depended only on God? They could have stole that prophecy, true or false? Yeah. If they do family planning, for instance, they can stop. Listen, even though it is coming from God, God does not rule out the human elements. It's just half of the equation. The other equation must be supplied by the human being. That's why even Mary, the angel didn't force her. He just told her, this is what God is saying. Then Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Then she took seed. So don't let people lie to you that, once I've seen it, it will happen. No. There's nobody who said, maybe should the idea and one no. 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 Anything that comes from the spirit realm must have a correspondent on earth as a witness to ensure its manifestation. So when somebody tells you this, and then you start mourning, you start crying. Where the prophet said, no. That's why the Bible says prophecy is always in part. In part. So what is the essence? Why does God reveal those things? So that you can decide what to do. So the same way somebody can get a dream and then you are dead. And the person tells you, I had a dream, you were dead. Why should you panic? It is something that is an invitation or waiting for you, your side. It's like somebody delivering a packet to you. There's a sign for it. If you don't sign for it, it's not yours. You have to sign for it and receive it. So never think that once the prophet has seen, that's it. One prophet was ministering and he was saying something and said, it will happen. And I said, no. You don't know what you're talking about. It won't happen. The thing is about my life. You are saying it will happen. Are you getting me? It's about my life. You are saying it will happen. I can decide that it will not happen. Yes. Right now, I told you, I see prophecy that I should be in politics. Does it depend on God? No. I'm not in politics. That prophecy, the man said, you will be in politics. Why is it not that God is pushing me into politics? That's not how God works. It's an invitation. If I check with other words that God has given me, and I'll come to that, and I settle that it is true, what should I do? I must yield to that prophecy. That's why I don't take this thing based on just one prophecy. That's only one prophecy I've received in all my life about politics. But that trajectory of my work with God does not indicate so, at least for now. And I'm not under pressure to do anything. Sometimes we put prophets into trouble. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. You're talking about Jesus, the promise of God. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached by among us by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Did you hear the scripture? The yes is in Jesus. The amen to is in him, but that one is through us. Which means that we release amen to the yes of God. If you don't release amen to the yes of God, it will not find expression in your life. It will not manifest. You can literally limit or stifle. That's why I say, don't not quench the spirit. You can quench him. Because like I said, Eli blessed Hannah and said, may the Lord favor you and answer your petitions, which means that you are going to get a child. Let Hannah go and say, Elkanah, get out and see how she will have that child. Even though it was spoken by a man of God, the prophecy was true. But see, there are two things, grace and faith. The realm of grace is the realm of the spirit, the realm of eternity. That's why grace was given to us before time began. The realm of grace, anything coming from grace, is engineered from the spirit realm, the department of eternity. But it will never be validated till the corresponding faith meets that grace to make it real, visible in your life. Salvation is not just by grace. It is by grace through faith. You are saved by grace, but it's through faith. Through faith, the amen is a faith. The same thing with prophecy. So negative prophecy can be averted. Positive ones too can be averted. You can also avoid positive ones. Let me give you some examples in the Bible. Negative prophecy. The example of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Look at the word that God gave. And another thing is, there's no personal prophecy that is unconditional. All of them are conditional. God came to Jonah a second time saying, we are saying what? Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. That who tells you? God tells you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. No condition. He didn't say, if you repent. No, the word was 40 days. I'm going to destroy Nineveh. There was no condition. No conditions. I mean, it was conditional. But God did not give them any room to even say, unless you repent. He said, no, your cup is full. I'm going to throw down Nineveh. And yet, the people were able to change that prophecy because they repented and cried to God. And because mercy will always triumph over judgment, you should never say never. Never say your doom is sealed, because the prophet said, God said. This is God who told Jonah to tell Nineveh. And yet the people could change God's decision through repentance. They came from the king to the animal. They repented and fasted. And God did not destroy them. That's why Jonah was angry. Because when he declared the word, you see, this Jonah will be declared a false prophet. Is that not so? Because everybody heard him. Everybody heard. And then when he gave the word, that's why he was not from Nineveh. So he should have left the moment he gave the word. But he was waiting to see the manifestation. He did not know that the people had intercepted the prophecy through repentance. And God had changed his mind. And you see, the sad thing is that God did not tell him that, go back and tell them that because you have repented, I will spare the city. No. Yeah, if God had told him, then that one. But God did not tell him. So what? You are just a messenger. So declare what God has said and go away. and leave everything to God. Because if he was from Nineveh, they would have stoned him. I fought prophet, because you said it didn't come to pass. But here, you understand that no prophecy, every prophecy is conditional. Isaiah was asked to tell Hezekiah. We know the story. 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 7. It says that in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." No conditions given, no avenue for mercy, whatever, no window. Then Isaiah gave the prophecy and left. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. The wall was the place where they kept records of all the things they had done for God, the battles, everything was written on the wall. So he turned to face the wall and then he reminded God of what he had done and said, "Remember now, Lord, I pray, how I've worked before you in truth and with all I had, and I've done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Guys, we have a God who can be touched. Don't allow somebody monopolize God to your disadvantage. You have a right to God, access to God. This man, he wept. And then look at what God did. Then it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. Another word came. Was Isaiah a false prophet? No. If he had declared it to the whole nation, for instance, that Hezekiah is going to die, or God told me he's going to die, but the man himself has access to God. He can plead for mercy. And God changed the verdict. But this time, he did it through the same Isaiah. And that was his advantage, because he lived among the people. So if, let's say, God did not tell him to go back to say this, Hezekiah will see him and say, you think you have something. But you see, it was God that was sending him. So the prophetic word was changed by Hezekiah. So there's nothing. Always see prophecies as dreams and visions somebody's having about you. Negative ones, see them as somebody's dream having about you. And don't panic because a prophet said. You see, because of the way we have presented the prophetic, people shudder, they panic when something comes out of the prophet's mouth. I've told once one of my nephew died, my brother, one prophet met him and then said that, "Listen, you have to come and see me. Let me do something for you. Otherwise, none of your children will cross 4 years." So he told me, I said, don't mind him. Don't disregard that prophecy. Don't mind him. How do we cancel that? That's the important thing. How do we cancel it? You have to know how to deal with the spirit of death, how to cancel what is hanging, how to deal with patterns, how to deal with altars and all that. That's the scriptural approach to dealing with those things. Not come and let me do something for you. That they will rather link you to familiar spirit and altars, and you will see another thing repeating in your life that you do not bargain for. I will talk about symbols, tokens, and directions in this series. Another example, yes, that's Ezekiel. Now, an example of positive prophecies that also was changed by people. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. I think yesterday, Isaiah was touching on aspect of this message, some of the things you shared. Exodus chapter 6. "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." What do you understand by "I am the Lord"? I am the Lord. Covenant, you see, the name Lord is a covenant name. Lord. I am the Lord. And he was telling them that this is my covenant. But, you see, come to Numbers 14, 26, 31. Numbers 14. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in. Did God change his mind? Yes. Did he swear to Abraham? Yes. That your descendants will enter? Yes. Did they enter? Yes, only two people. What happened to the rest? They didn't want to enter. So they changed the prophecy in their lives. See, when God says, I will do, what he's saying is that I will do with you. Never think personal prophecy only rests with God. He says, I will do. It means I will do with you. With God, all things are possible. God will never rule out your involvement. Because you see, your life, it's not only for God. Your life is for you. It's for you and God. So you must partner with God. These people, that when God said, I will bring them to the land after, there was no conditions at that. There was no, you know, conditions. But there were conditions implied. So if you take it that, you said you will bring them to the land, and now look, you are killing them, and now only Caleb and so on. So no, if God says I will do this in your life, what he's saying is that we will do, you and I. When you get to a point where you're not interested, the word is too true, but the corresponding faith aspect to bring it to pass is lacking. But the word is true. But you are not in place to bring it to pass. Another good prophecy that went bad was what God told Eli in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30 to 31. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will be before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be from me. Can God change his mind? Can God change his mind? Yes, he can. He can. But now, far be from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He said, yes, I said, your father's house, you walk before me forever, but now, God forbid. Yeah, you were saying now, God forbid. So every prophetic word is conditional, whether they are positive or negative. Prophecy is never final. That is why when you receive prophecy, you must keep it in your heart and never you stop believing it. The day you stop believing it, that's the day you have revoked your partnership. Once you believe it, it doesn't matter what happens to you. Once you believe, say, this thing that God said, I believe. But I'm going to show you something else. It's not enough to say, I believe. Every prophetic word from God will have a scriptural roadmap to its fulfillment. Every prophetic word will have a connection to scripture. So take any word at all, any positive word at all that you receive through prophecy. Is it greatness? Is it breakthrough? Is it leadership? Is it glorious marriage? It is financial blessing. There are already scriptures that talk about these things. And so the thing is that when the prophet tells you, you have marital glory or favor. Now, what you must do, go back to scriptures and then locate the roadmap to marital favor and stay in it. Hello? What I'm saying is that the prophecy itself is not going to enter your space and manifest. There's a roadmap. He says marital favor, but there's a roadmap to marital favor in scriptures. So what you must do is that apply yourself to that roadmap in the scripture, locate your prophecy in the scripture, and then look at the conditions and apply yourself to them. If it says, I see God lifting you, I see that a time will come where God is going to lift you, you are going to be a leader, this, that. There's already a scripture or scriptures that talk about people being lifted by God. It's hard work, but locate your personal prophecy in scripture and then locate the roadmap and apply yourself to it. So if let's say, because before the prophet told you that I see they have a beautiful marriage or family, it was already in scripture. That invitation was already in scripture, Psalm 28. But the condition is, do you fear the Lord? Because I said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. This, that. Then said, his wife shall be like a fruitful vine beside his house, and his children like olive plants on about their table. That scripture starts with the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. So the prophet was not wrong, but that prophecy cannot manifest till the conditions attached in scripture are fulfilled. That's why you cannot just be saying that God says he's going to make me the wealthiest man in Ghana and now even struggling to pay tithes. You see, God doesn't just bless people like that too. Listen, let that sink into your heart. No matter the prophecy you have received, I see that you are swimming in wealth. Thank God. Who swam in wealth in the Bible? Solomon. What did he do? And what are the conditions for abundance in the Bible? You just have to locate them, because that's the prophecy on your head. Locate them and start applying yourself to them. And don't think that's why the first thing you need when you receive prophecy is wisdom. See, forget about the excitement too. A growing form. After the excitement is okay, jubilate. I remember when I was given a prophecy by Prophet Chimana some years ago. He was talking about wealth. Wealth. Well, he said a time will come where I will sign billions of dollars for the gospel. And it will come. But you see, after the prophetic word, people came to tap. They came to hold me like this. And I said, you are who tap for coin? So you see, the thing is that, but you see, when the prophecy came, God put me on a journey as far as giving was concerned with specific instructions. It was later that the Lord told me that the reason for this is because when God gives you a prophecy, he must prepare you for it. So God says, I will make you rich, but your heart is not the heart of a rich man. So God will take you through the journey where he will give you a rich man's heart. A rich man's heart in the sight of God is a heart that gives. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's already in scripture. So locate your prophetic word in the word of God and look at the conditions that pertains to them. Because prophetic words do not make nonsense of established principles, patterns, and procedures. That's why that says the Lord must always be situated in the context of it is written. Hello? They must always be situated in the context of it is written. The next thing, personal prophecies can fail. Can prophecies fail? Yes, they can fail. Do you know why God wrote down his prophecies? when something is written, it is written. It is settled. It is permanent. It cannot fail. Anything God has written down, prophetic that God has written down, is God's eternal counsel. That one will never fail. That's why he was bold enough to write it down. I'll talk about it is written and that's it, the Lord. But let me teach a little bit here. When God is very interested in things that are written down, he told John, he said, what you see and hear, write. Why? It is sure. So when it comes to God's eternal counsel that is written down, it can never fail. It said the heaven and the earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. My word, my counsel, what I've determined to do, I've written them down like the virgin birth of Jesus. There's no way that will fail. God will sovereignly arrange witnesses along the line to give witness to that word, for that word to come to pass. There's no way that word will fail. It didn't depend on anybody. He was determined to push them through. But that's not the same thing with a prophecy you received. Because that prophecy you received was an invitation to partnership. That one can fail. Yes, but what his eternal counsel has established will not fail. So that's why there are things God ordained that they should happen. And there are things God did not ordain, but he foresaw them. The thing God ordained, they will happen. Jesus will come back. That thing will never fail. All the prophecy concerning Jesus coming back is written down. It will never fail. Nobody can change it. What is written is written. The signs of the end time, they will happen as it is written down. That's why God took pains to write them down so that even when the original receivers or recipients are dead and gone, that thing will still be there as a reminder that God said it. It will happen. All the things God spoke concerning Jesus, his birth, they came to pass. Even in the Bible, see, Cyrus, his name was mentioned. Mentioned and written down, Isaiah 45. Before he was born, years before he was born, God wrote Cyrus, wrote his name down. Why did he write? It was settled. Cyrus came, yes. He came and he fulfilled that prophecy. Josiah, the same thing. You know. But you see, the one that says, I see God blessing you. I see God doing this in your life. I see God doing that in your life. That one is an invitation into partnership. That's why you can feel. If you don't attend to it, like believe it, hold on to it. That's why prophecies are like streetlights. Okay. Then also, there are things that you hold on to because you go through seasons of doubt and seasons of despondency. When you get to those seasons, they are the prophecies that you hold on to and you use them to wage your warfare. It's not like you are fighting to make it come to pass. No, no, that's not what it means. It's a prophecy. My Bible says, by wise counsel, wage your warfare. So the prophetic word that came, that God said, you, this is what I planned for you. Now you are experiencing what we call the contradiction test. But you hold on to that word and say that, yes, I know I'm experiencing this, but I still believe the word. And I know that God spoke it, and I know that it will come to pass. In that wise, then it will come to pass. But it can fail in your life. If you decide you don't want to partner with God again, it can fail. Yes. So by grace, you have been saved through faith. Okay. Now, false prophets, fake prophets, failed prophecy, they are different things. When we talk about false prophets in the Bible, we are usually talking about a person's character. A person's character, not his prophecy. His character, his fruit, his character, the things he does. That's how the Bible defines a false prophet. It's not by a false prophecy, or let's say a prophecy that did not come to pass. No. Okay. Then when we talk about fake prophets, they are prophets who are not called by God. They are faking it. False prophets are people who were called by God, who turned bad because of character. But fake ones, they did not get any call. They are faking it. They are, and so we have fake prophecies. Fake prophecies are cooked prophecies. You know, we have word of knowledge. We also have word from knowledge. You know, word from knowledge is fake prophecy. It's people telling, going into your Facebook wall and then getting your date of birth or getting your name. You know, somebody used to do that. And then he will use your Facebook details to prophesy to you. That's fake prophecy. You don't have to, if you don't have it, you don't have it, don't fake it. How you get to me? That one is dangerous. We can have fake prophecies where it's like, the thing is not there, but you are cooking it. You are just adding one to two and then saying something. That's fake. But you see, genuine prophets can issue declarations or prophecies and the prophecies can fail. It has not made them false prophets or fake prophets. They are genuine ones, but their prophetic words did not come to pass. And there can be a number of reasons for that. There are reasons why a genuine prophet can speak and miss it. The first reason is that prophets don't see everything. They don't see all the time. And the best of men are still men at their very best. And so the kind of crucifixion that we heap on prophets who miss it. You see, we should be charitable. You see, the thing is that people don't forgive prophets that easily. They can forgive teachers when they teach and come back and say, oh, I was wrong. They'll say, oh, don't worry. We all make mistakes. Or the evangelist who prayed for 20 people and only 2 people got healed. And usually, every evangelist will tell you, there are people who are not healed at the end of every crusade. But we don't crucify them. We don't lambast them because why were they not all healed? We say, oh, yeah, I mean, somewhere healed, we give praise to God. But somebody can be giving 8 prophecies and fail one. And that one that he failed will be his description for the rest of his life. And then we'll call him a false prophet. No. Now, so the first reason is that you are a human being and you can miss it. You see, Samuel missed it in the case of Eliab because he was not a false prophet. He was a genuine prophet. The Bible said that, in fact, Samuel's words never fell to the ground. You know what that means? What that meant was that any word that he spoke from God, when he said, that says the Lord, it happened. Eliab's case was not that says the Lord. It was Samuel's own assumption, maybe desire. He said, oh, I see the Lord's anointed before me. You see, he didn't say, that says the Lord, this that anointed one. He said, I see the Lord's anointed. It was something that he was saying. So sometimes we must also know the things that are coming from the person as a human being. He's just predicting. It's not a prophecy. Don't say the Lord said Blaster will score 1-0. If the Lord said, it will happen. Eh? It's a prediction. We all can predict. You can say, oh, I predict that they will score 1-0. Nobody will do anything to you. I predict. Yes, you can predict. But don't come and say, God said. If it is God who said it, God said will come to pass or must come to pass. And sometimes we can say God said, but I'm trying to explain. Sometimes we can say God said, but it's not God. Maybe you saw something, you said it. So if you don't have humility as a prophet, you are going to put yourself in trouble. Sometimes the statement that people make is as if they are God. My prophecy never fails. No, you are a liar. Your prophecies never fail. No. You see, that's why sometimes God can let you know that you are a man, not God. It will humiliate you, but it will be a deliverance to you. So that next time when you are talking, you will look over your shoulder before you talk. You will know that you are just a man. It's like Elisha. Elisha told the Gehazi, he said that, oh, this woman is seriously troubled, and God has hidden it from me. What audacity. So somebody will say, so can't God hide it from you? But he was surprised that God, and God did that to let him know that, hey, you know when you're pale. The first time you know my children, you said, you know you're pale. You are not God. Don't be surprised that I hid it from you. You are a human being. Elisha, you are a human being. You are powerful. I made you powerful. I anointed you. You can see many things, but you see, you can't see everything. Well, even the things you are seeing, you are only seeing in part. Do you know, somebody can easily say God said, and it may not be God necessarily. It may not be a bad thing. Look at David telling Nathan, I want to build a house for God. I want to build a house for God. And Nathan too, as a prophet, knowing God, knowing God's mind, knowing that this is a noble thing, said, go, do it. Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. He didn't say, God says you should do it. He just gave David permission because he knew David loved God, and building a house for God was timely. It was the right time. But before he could leave David's place, because he was a genuine man of God, and he was humble, God corrected him. And he came back and brought the correction to David. And God said, no, I have not asked him to build a house for me. His hand is full of blood. I will let his son Solomon build the house. And Nathan went back to correct the word he gave to David. You should have the humility to say that, oh, I'm wrong. One guy came to me and then was talking about God has called him to do ministry. But then his relatives outside wants him to come and do masters. And because they have taken care of you, and then you got a very good class, and go, come here and do masters, then you can stay there or maybe do find some work to do. But you are saying God has called you into ministry, so you want to go right away and start ministry. So when he came to me, I said, oh, I think you should listen to what they are saying. Go and do the masters. Even that one will let you settle and let you relax so that the will of God for your life, it will not run away. By the time you finish the masters, you would have thought through all that, whether it's just zeal or whether it's just something you are pursuing or something, you will know your bearings and all that. So he took my advice. Then at night, I had a dream. Then I saw that Pentecost chairman, previous chairman, Apostle Bokunya, came to me in a dream. Then he said, what did you tell that young man? Do you know what God has for him? Do you know what God wants you to do? Why did you tell him to listen to the relatives? Then, so I said, boo. I'm sorry. You see, I was giving good advice. Or I thought it was good advice. And I will give that advice any day. And out of my heart, I thought that, oh, well, if they are saying this, you know, I've not heard anything from God. I said, oh, you are saying this, and I think it's okay. Doing masters is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, you know. And then the class you had to, it looks like you are wasting it. If let's say you had maybe third class, but if you have first class, for instance, you are not doing anything after it. It's like you are wasting it. You're wasting it. But look at it was not God. That advice was good, but it wasn't God. See, that's why I've told you already. I said you are responsible for what God told you. But sometimes people can come and help you sort things out, but that will not replace what God told you. And so sometimes you have to know what God is telling you. Not to be pushed into things like that in the name of a prophet. See, we must not despise prophets. Prophets are very necessary in our ecosystem. But we should not hang our destiny on a prophet. You will regret, or on a man of God, you will regret. There must always be room to confirm, room to hear, room to have peace, room for it to resonate. Paul said, we don't have dominion over your faith. In other words, we cannot say you cannot hear anything from God. It's your life. It's your life. So, you know, if you allow somebody to push you to marry somebody you don't like, and then you are suffering. Now, in the Old Testament, if you gave a prophecy and you gave it in the name of God and it failed, you were classified as a false prophet and you had to be stoned. Because in that dispensation, prophets were the only mouthpiece of God. So you did not have to fail as a prophet. Once you said, God said, we were expecting that. And so if that thing doesn't come to pass, God said, reject that person, reject him. I have not sent him. He's not a prophet. So Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 21-22, it says, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which God has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. This one, see, the bottom line is, if the thing did not come to pass in the specified time period as declared by the prophet, it means that God did not say it. Hello? But it doesn't mean he's a false prophet. It means if God said it, it will come to pass. Okay? If you say tomorrow by this time it's going to rain heavily, and this, that, God said it's going to rain, so we should all be on guard, and it doesn't rain, we can be sure that it's not God who said it. You see, because a time was given. But you see, there are certain instances where you may not know whether it's God or not till the prophecy, because for instance, a virgin are conceived. There was no time limit. A virgin are conceived. It happened 600 years later. But see, we know Isaiah's track record that he was a prophet of God. So it was written down. They didn't joke with prophets in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, see, you can miss it. You can miss it. But when you miss it, that's why even in prophetic ministration, you must sustain the humility to ask questions, even in your ministration, rather than just pushing the thing on that person. You know, once somebody was trying to describe my wife, you know, and she said, I've entered your bedroom, your room. I've seen your wife. She's very dark. And this and that and that and that. Instead of asking me whether my wife is, you are saying she's dark. She's not dark. You see? So sometimes you have to work with the people so that you will not go far into error. Because some people may not be able to tell you that, oh, it's not true. Because in public like that, that's why sometimes they try to bully you. Because you can't say it's not. But you ask the person, oh, does it make sense to you? I'm hearing this. Does it make sense to you? The person says, no. Okay, forget it. Because you see, not everything you are hearing is from the spirit. Not everything you are seeing. You are picking up information. In the spirit realm, demonic spirits and divine, they both have information. And sometimes, demonic spirit can throw information around. Okay? Especially mundane information. So, you see, When you are only saying things because you are hearing them, you put yourself in a place where you can travel in error because you are hearing this. But the person, you must work with the person. Sometimes you are not sure, ask questions. Because you are saying that you were born in the month of August, and the person is saying, no, I'm a June born. They say, no, go and check. You're supposed to be born in August. go and ask your mother your original birth certificate. You were born in August. The person says, I was born in June. So what's the argument? Are you challenging me as a prophet? Did I miss it? Yes, you missed it. And so what? If you miss it, and so what? You are human, you can miss it. Because Hagin used to say, so if it doesn't make sense, tell me, I can miss it. And he was a great prophet. And he would say, does it make sense? Okay, then forget about it. Then he would come round. Once he had a word of knowledge, and he said that there's a man here with kidney problems. You are wearing jeans. No, say you are sitting on this side, a man. Then a woman got up. So he saw somebody wearing jeans. So he assumed that it should be a man. No, it was a woman, rather. Sitting at the same location, but it was a woman. And then he admitted that, I'm sorry, I thought it was a man because of the jeans I saw, jean trouser. No, it was a woman. That's an honest person. Now, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to prove that I'm somebody. You see, when you start trying to impress people, that's where you start drifting off. When you insist that you are right, you can't miss it. You can't be wrong. Because if you miss it, we won't stone you because you are a human being. And that's why every believer has the Holy Spirit. So that even when you miss it in the New Testament, it's not a big deal because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But you know, genuine prophets can miss it. But you know something? False prophets or fake prophets can give accurate prophecies. That's also another side. Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam gave one of the most accurate prophecies about Christ in Numbers. When Balak hired him to go and curse them. I'll talk about Balaam because Balaam is not a prophet of God. Balaam was a soothsayer. But you see, at that point, he got the word of the Lord and he released it. And it's a prophecy in scripture. I beheld him upon the rocks, upon the mountains. He said, that talking about Christ in Numbers. So can a fake prophet give an accurate prophecy? Yes. Accuracy has never been a yardstick to determine a prophet's credibility. That's why I say, go beyond that. That's why you don't just take the word of a prophet and think that, because he prophesied accurately, then he's correct. Then whatever he says is also true. Whatever he says I should do, I must do it because, he prophesied accurately. No, you can get accurate information, and sometimes even the prescription he's giving you is wrong. It's anti-scripture, and yet he got accurate information. The fact that he got details about you does not mean that the prescription is correct. That's why you have to always stay in the word of God. And if the person is telling you, I've seen this, and you witness, yes, I've been also having dreams of death, yes, and they say, this is what you must do, then you are doing it because he saw it accurately. No, you are wrong. You are responsible for you, yourself, whether you be deceived or not. So don't say that, because he gave me an accurate prophecy, so, I followed him. So I don't want to get into how to judge prophecy. I'll talk about that next week, God willing. How to judge prophecy. And then some prophets, how to handle some prophets. Because there are different types of prophets. You see, for instance, we have immature prophets. They can lead you astray. They are not false prophets. They are immature. See, so they are making certain mistakes. Some of the immature prophets, for instance, if they share a revelation with you and then you try to tell them that it's not like that, they get angry. Because once they have seen, it must be so. Immature. Are you rejecting my word? They always feel rejected easily when their words are not taken. But you see, as a mature prophet, you must know that if you are talking to somebody who knows the Lord, who is also a mature believer, he's not bound to take everything you say or direction you give. No. No, you can give a word. You can tell me you saw that I was dead. Thank you. I will not subscribe to your prescription because you gave me the word. It's not news that I was dead in dreams. Is it news? I know the thoughts the devil has towards me. They are thoughts of evil, not good, to bring me to an unexpected end. So when you see that, oh, I saw that you had an accident. I hear those things all the time. So thank you. We'll deal with it. We'll cancel it. Pray, cancel it. I'm not going to be following you about, so what should I do? What should I do? Okay, go and stand at the river somewhere and put some coins there. Those are for babies. It's babies that you get into that. Go and put. Listen, I'm going to talk about the tokens and all that. You realize that you have been following familiar spirit for far too long. I'm telling you, anybody who gives these directions, that most of them are familiar spirits. Most of them. I go and stand at the junction there. I'll show you from scripture. Those are occultic practices. Divination. Divination always employs material substance. Divination, see, they can never, with a word, correct that thing. Or with declaration, or with prayer. It must always connect you to the earth. Let's read, they come from the earth. So be careful when you say, go and bring sand from your compound. Go and gather sand. Go and bring this. Go and put this here. Go and put it there. Go and, even now, snap. They are using snap for a quantity. Let's be on our feet. I don't want to continue because I cannot finish if I continue. Bottom line is, genuine prophets can miss it sometimes. Fake prophets can be accurate. So we have to apply our terms very well. We are praying, Lord, increase our discernment. Philippians 1:9, increase our discernment. Increase our discernment. And then grace to handle prophecies accurately. Men lebeke maso tele madia kapara masundes. Rebekete rabalakado shentele madia kapara. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, with sharp discernment. 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 Shetele madia kapara masunde. Grace to handle prophecy accurately. Oh, grace to keep on believing the prophetic words. Keep on holding on to the words that God has spoken to you. Keep on embracing them. Keep on embracing them. Keep on believing them. For there shall surely be a performance of the thing that God has spoken. There shall be a performance. He just needs your partnership and your continued partnership. You must continuously show interest in God's plan for your life. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this last prayer for Ghana. Practical wisdom for our leaders. Wisdom that leads to solutions, pragmatic solutions. Let's pray that the Lord will give our leaders practical wisdom. Things that will lead to pragmatic solutions. If it is flooding, God should give them wisdom that will solve that issue. If it is Dunso, by the use of God now, I think Dunso is going down. If it is God will give them wisdom to solve it. Let's pray for our leaders. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our president. Father, we pray, give him wisdom, divine wisdom. We pray for his cabinet, his ministers. We pray that you empower them. Give them wisdom. Give them wisdom to be able to come out with pragmatic solutions for this nation and for the youth of this nation. Oh, give them a heart that will think about the youth. In the name of Jesus. Any good plan they have, oh God, we pray. We pray that you breathe on those good plans. Grant them strategic ideas to implement those good plans. In the name of Jesus. Any selfish plans or evil plans that they have or will come into their heads, let those plans perish in their heads. In the name of Jesus, may they never be able to implement selfish plans. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for Ghana. Bless Ghana indeed. Make our nation great and strong. We thank you for Ghana. Let your gracious hand be open over Ghana. Let your jealous eyes be over Ghana. In the name of Jesus, let the cause of the gospel in Ghana flourish. In the name of Jesus, let the banner of Christ be exalted above every other banner. In the name of Jesus, oh yes, Lord, let your purpose for Ghana be established. May Ghana take her place on the table of nations as the firstborn of Africa. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We pray that you increase our discernment, open the eyes of understanding, so that we can navigate through this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you are blessed. Teachings by Apostle Joseph Mintah is now available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, and so many more. You can search for Apostle Joseph Mintah and also Teachings by Apostle Joseph Mintah on these platforms. You can also visit our website, www.touchworldministries.com. Touch World Ministries, we reach, disciple, equip, and release. Be blessed.